This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're on the Sports Bag on Joy 94.9 live at AIDS 2014 down here at the Melbourne Exhibition and at Convention Centre. And Mal, a text message that's coming from Tim. Of course, listeners out there, if you want to communicate with us on the Sports Bag this evening, send in a text 0427-JOY-949, 0427-569-949. You can email too.
onair@joy.org.au.
Indeed. And Tim is sending a text message. Thanks, Tim. I have yet to notice anyone speaking too fast. Although, on a similar note, a challenge. How fast can you say this tongue twister? Well, I'll give
you
a go.
Ready? You ready?
Here we go. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? He would chuck, he would as much as he could, and chuck as much wood as a woodchuck would if a woodchuck could chuck wood.
Yay!
That was very good.
Gold medal winning performance.
There you go. Fantastic.
That's for you, Jenny, at home. Google's mum.
Joining us now, Malcolm and Jai on the Sports Bag on Joy 94.9. Of course, Steve Bevelling lives in Sydney. He's been HIV positive since 1996, and like many other athletes, found that athletics helped him to stay positive.
In life.
Do you find that athletics HIV. Or trampoline helped you to stay positive, Joel?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I grew up in a fairly low socioeconomic area south of Brisbane, and it was...
Logan?
Yes. It would have been very easy for me to go down the drug route.
Yes.
And go down the unemployment route. But trampoline kept me really grounded, kept me away from all that.
Yes.
And I really have my sport to thank for that.
For getting you out.
Yeah, for keeping me out. You know, my parents definitely kept me out, but keeping me out would have been very easy. So, it absolutely keeps you really positive and on the go.
Of course, Steve Bevelling, the president of the Sydney Cycling Club, he's flown down especially for us tonight, Mal. He's come from the Gold Coast. He's been at a lawyers' conference up there, being the barrister that he is.
No, Gold Coast.
He was due to fly home to Sydney tonight, and I contacted him last night and I said, we need you in Melbourne, what can you do? Changed his flight at 11:30 p.m. last night to be with us tonight.
These lawyers, they must earn big money if they
welcome to Joy 94.9.
Thank you very, very much indeed. Thank you. And somebody else actually paid for the air ticket. Let me first come back onto that comment about living and being positive and
indeed.
Being a cyclist. There's an organisation called Positive Pedalers in the United States.
Yes.
And I have one of their t-shirts which says, positive is an attitude.
Of course.
And that's really a very, very strong statement, and that's really what we're all about.
And that's the same across all community sectors.
Exactly.
That's not just about living with HIV or in the gay community. It really is about being positive about life.
Yes. Yeah.
And as you said, Steve, in an article I read about you last night, you don't just like living, you love being alive.
Even though I was diagnosed with HIV now 18 and a bit years ago, and it was a very, very torrid time. In fact, they made an appointment for me at the morgue. I decided that I would stay alive. I like being alive.
Those
I don't just
nice.
Like being alive. I love being alive. And even to this day, I catch myself out in the car, raising my fist, going, yep, I'm alive. Because it is just so good.
Instead of being in the morgue.
You know, the beds are cold.
And that was that was a real reality back then.
In
that
Melbourne
was a real
last
possibility.
Night,
it was a real possibility. And it was, and I remember very much the decision, I'm not going there, but what if I did, I wouldn't be complaining and it can't be that bad. I was so much at that fork in the road in my life. But I'm so glad I chose the left side rather than the right one.
And look at you now.
Yeah, I'm really lucky.
Let me try and paint the picture, Steve, for our listeners. Here's this young, avid cyclist, before he was diagnosed with HIV. You started racing in your teens and loved it, and shortly after you were diagnosed in 1996, you went blind. And, of course, the HIV virus had damaged the coating on your optic nerve. Stop talking, Malcolm, I can hear you. However, your sight came back a year later. Tell our listeners about that process.
Well, it happened about 3 or 4 weeks after I seroconverted, and on the Sunday I could see, and on the Wednesday I could see nothing. It was like a television without an aerial, just this black and white snow. That's all I could see. Like within 3 days, my eyesight had gone, and that was frankly the most frightening period of my entire life.
But you also said off air earlier that after it was about 2 weeks where you didn't know what was going on, but then when you got a diagnosis, they said it will return your
indeed.
Sight.
And once they said it will return, I went, okay, I can cope with that.
Yes.
Now, it was pretty tedious to have to wait for it to return because I couldn't do a lot, and of course in those days there was a much greater issue about stigma and discrimination and dealing with HIV and the ramifications, and you know, I didn't want to have the question of why is it that you don't have eyesight at the moment, so I just basically hid for quite some time and led a fairly private life, but we overcame that. What then the more long-term ramification was that even though my eyesight came back after 12 months, I still stopped cycling. And I still didn't cycle for 11 years. And that was because of the HIV.
Did you perhaps feel that you wouldn't be treated because you were HIV positive?
I was frightened that the ambulance people would leave me on the road in case I had a crash.
They wear gloves.
It was a real risk of discrimination.
It was a real concern
back then. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I stopped doing the thing that I loved because of being HIV positive.
And what turned it around?
In the end, I got bored with that,
yeah.
And I said, I really want to do what I really want to do.
And so you got out there and did it.
And I did it, and then, yes, I did crash,
yeah.
And I learned very, very quickly that I was so wrong about my concern with respect to the ambulance people and all the health people.
You were discriminating yourself.
Exactly. I was discriminating.
You were discriminating against the ambulance people.
I was having a self-induced fear and self-induced stigma problem. And I know that, and that's a concern itself with respect to HIV. And what I'm trying to say is I was wrong, and I'm really glad that I realised that I was wrong, and I know that I can help. And, you know, we come back to, say, the Sydney Cycling Club. I didn't tell them that I was HIV positive, and then I have a crash in the bunch.
And you had to tell them.
And I'm lying splattered on the road, and I'm going, what do I do?
Well,
and I
said,
be careful, I've got HIV. And the whole lot of them said, yeah, so what? And they all helped me, and I went, gee, this is great. You know,
beautiful.
And it really was a fabulous turnaround experience.
Listeners, the thing is, keep away from Steve when he's on a bike, because when I first met Steve about 4 years ago at the Cologne Gay Games, he'd had a crash then too, and then he was in a cab on the way here from the airport, and the cab had a crash.
Well, you shouldn't be joking about that, because tell us about what happened last year.
Well, what I'm training to do is I train to do a race called the Race Across America, which goes from San Diego to Washington, D.C.
Team for HIV Hope.
Team for HIV Hope. I'm planning to do it solo, but obviously I need a team of crew, and I need the whole team to get us across. But I keep on having to delay doing the race because last year I had a bicycle crash and broke 5 vertebrae. And then this year I broke my leg, and now I've bought lots more bubble wrap.
You're a walking disaster.
I get there.
I know.
Fortunately, my partner is very, very supportive about this, and he follows my phone and notices when I stop, and he's actually telephoned saying, I've noticed you stopped.
Are you dead?
Well, sometimes he's actually...
Are you still on the bike?
Sometimes the ambulance person has answered the phone.
Right, do you need an ambulance?
So, but, you know, it's great to have that support.
How many kilometres do you ride a week, Steve?
At the moment, about 3, but it...
300.
And then it varies between 300 and 600.
So, Steve, doing that amount of exercise, do you know what toll that takes on your health living with HIV?
I don't believe that it takes any greater toll on my health because I have HIV. It would take exactly the same amount of toll on anybody whether they have HIV or not.
Excellent.
But it's great that cycling gives you those various goals to achieve, and competing in races, you know, keeps you motivated.
And what's so nice about it is because, you know, fundamentally I do this to help reduce stigma and discrimination. So people know that the reasons why we do these races, and we see the results from the younger people who watches. We see this from people who stand by the road and wait for our team to go past. Mm. You know, we had one guy who waited for hours in the Midwest just for our team to come past to say, I now see somebody else with HIV.
How many other
doing it?
Exactly.
Doing out and doing it.
How many other teams are in this ride?
Well, this year there were at least 94 teams.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot of people.
Now, boys, this is to Jai as well as to Steve. What do you find is worse, stigma or discrimination with HIV?
My own feeling is that the stigma is more disconcerting.
That's what I would have thought.
But there are two bits of the stigma. We sort of touched on the self-induced stigma, which can be equally as detrimental for a person with HIV, in contrast to the stigma that comes from other people. Mm. You know, we talked about my own stigma that I created within myself,
yes. And
I know that it's so wrong.
I know we've got to go to a break very shortly and start winding up the show in a couple of minutes' time, but you mentioned in a recent article, Steve, that you feel lucky to live in Australia.
We are so lucky that we live in Australia. We have a great sense of access. We have a great sense of community. We get to the medications. We know that we can test people. We know that we can treat people. And we have the support from our whole community. Sure, we have some issues that we need to keep on building up with, but we're streets ahead with so many other nations.
And being here in Melbourne this week with the conference, it's been celebrated that Melbourne is hosting this. And so Melbourne is supporting it and behind it. So that attitude, there is no stigma in that.
And on top of that, next year, proposing to be the first HIV-positive person to complete the race across America next year, 2015, aiming to do it solo. Of course, listeners, it's a 3,000-mile non-stop race from Oceanside, California to Annapolis. Of course, I think it's going to take about 6 days and 6,030 minutes. So
more like 600.
600.
The cutoff, get this, the cutoff is 12 hours. And if you
each cross, day.
12 days.
12 days.
12 days.
And if you go across the line 12 days, 1 minute, you don't qualify. You don't finish.
Yeah.
That's like with Ironmans.
No, well,
in
it's
Hawaii,
not the Olympics. So you don't need a stop.
No, they do, because they can't have people out on the road looking for you for 55 days.
Sure, next day maybe, but 1 minute.
I will do this to ensure that people with HIV can do exactly everything else that people without HIV can do as well.
Anything they want to do.
Good on you, Stephen. Look, we appreciate you flying down from Gold Coast to be with us this evening. All the very best for the race across America next year. You're a champion in your own self, Steve, and all the very best.
I'm very honoured to be here, and thank you guys, and thank you for what you all do.
Steve,
I appreciate
Steve.
That.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.